thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise this morning, Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for abundance in life, abundance in all we do, Lord, because of your promises. And no matter what happens, Lord, we know that you're with us always, Lord, even until the end of the world. Lord, we just love you this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We are your people. This is your time. We surrender to you, Lord. Everything we are, everything we're not, we leave it all in your presence, Lord. Cast all of our cares on you this morning, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name for your mercies, your tender mercies, Lord. We thank you for your love that's shed abroad in our hearts, Lord. The grace that we know, Lord, and we receive and we walk in. This morning, Lord, we just say and we commit that we have open minds and receptive hearts to your word this morning. And Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, to speak to us this morning. Lord, I yield myself to you. You're the one who gets glory and honor. You're the one who gets the attention, Lord, not man. We praise you. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name for what you're going to accomplish. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you. We ask you to bring the will of our Father into each and every heart and life and into this place today. And for all of this, we praise you and thank you and give you glory and honor forever in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to just say to you this morning, you know, there's so many things going on and there's so many distractions that try to pull us away, try to get us to stop doing what God tells us to do. And we're told in the Word that we're supposed to hold on because our joy comes in the morning. When you serve God, it's joy all the time. It should be joy all the time. It's the distractions and the things that happen in our lives that cause us to cause us to lose track of that joy and to let that joy go for a few moments. One of the things is the enemy likes to do too is he likes to try to get you off kilter where you start to forget what he's called you to do and what he's told you to do. And it can be a distraction that can make you want to do all kinds of crazy things. In some cases, stop doing what you know God wants you to do. And that's not the case with me this time. I can say that honestly, but I understand that. And this morning's message is about hope. It's about hope. It's about listening to God and being committed and submitted. And not only loving God the way He loves us unconditionally, but loving one another unconditionally. Being submitted to one another. And by submission, that doesn't mean that we do everything that the other person says. But the point is that what we do unconditionally out of love for the benefit of the other person. Amen? Are y'all with me? That's something we all need to do. We need to never lose sight about where God's called us. We need to never lose sight about what God's told us to do. And we need to be steadfast, again, immovable. And in so doing, we are always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen? I'm excited about the message this morning. I'm excited about you guys. I missed you last week. He's the one who brings and gives victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up Brian and I lift up Kathy to you, Lord. Father, I pray for Kathy that the infirmity that's tried to come on her, that's coming on her, Lord, that it's broken in Jesus' name. I say that right now as we send your word to Kathy and to Jerry, Lord, that she's loosed. She's free. She's whole. She breathes well. Her sinus tracts open up, Lord. And her head is clear, Lord. And Lord, right now, she's going to know and going to give glory and honor to you and to the kingdom of God that'll bring honor to you, the kingdom of God, that she's healed right now in Jesus' name. Devil, get your hands off God's property. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that we see this infirmity, this affliction coming back on the enemy. We see it coming on him right now. See the runny nose, the watery eyes, and the stuffy head, Lord, being on Satan. He doesn't think well anyway, Lord. So we just thank you that it's there in Jesus' name. And Father, we lift up Brian's situations. Lord, we know we're going to be attacked. We know there's going to be situations. But Lord, we are victorious in you. We're not victims. We're victorious. And Lord, the truth is going to come out. I thank you, Lord, that the truth is going to be shown and that this is going to be dropped and exonerated and completely let go because of no wrongdoing on his part. We come against you, devil. We send the word into this situation. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to, by the Holy Spirit, influence righteousness and justice in the judge and in that courtroom in Jesus' name. And for Michelle also, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, it doesn't make any difference what we did in the past. Today's a new day. So we look to you, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for victory, for a testimony, and we give you all the praise and all the honor and glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give God His tithes and our offerings this morning.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we're allowed to be here this morning and come before you and worship you, Heavenly Father. Because if it wasn't for you, well, we'd be nothing.
Amen.
And for what Jesus did for us, Heavenly Father, words just can't express that. And it touches my heart every Sunday when I come before you. But not even only on Sunday, Heavenly Father, every day of the week.
Amen. Amen.
And it's just such a joyous thing, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son because you loved us and you loved us first. And now we return that to you, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And we also ask you to bless this offering that we're about to receive, to multiply it so that we can continue to spread your word throughout not only this community, but throughout the entire world. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill. Would you all mind if we shared first this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. I give you praise and thanks most of all, Lord, for your presence in my life, in all of our lives. Once again, we look to you, Lord. We trust you. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy and your grace. And this morning, Lord, once again, I ask you to use me. Touch me on my lips with a coal from off the altar of God. Lord, let your love come through what is said today, Lord, and trust and freedom in Jesus' name in every heart and life. For that, we praise you and thank you. We lift you up. We magnify you. We place you at the highest place. And Lord, we lift you up so that men will be drawn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's been dealing with me for 2 weeks. I thought I had a message, but obviously God wasn't done. I thank the Lord for that. You know, one of the things we all face, it's no secret, Brian's going through it, we've all gone through it, there are situations and things that happen in our lives that are beyond our control, but they're not beyond God's control. There are also situations and experiences in our life that bring us to the places we are. And if we've given our life to God, then thank God the curse and those problems have become minuscule or have been done away with in the Lord. Amen? Amen. And the thing is, what we need to understand, though, I mean, one of the things that's so difficult sometimes, at least for me to understand in this world today, is the things that I see. And I hear whispers from everybody saying, you know, how can they do this? How can this happen? How can this happen in this country? And folks, once again, you know, I preached here not about a year back, maybe a little more, about the fact that, you know, there are things in people's lives that make them the way they are. And nothing short of God is ever going to change that in their life. There's no drug you can take to make it better. You can't drown it away in alcohol. The only thing that's going to help and going to change it is God in your life. Amen? Amen. And what happens is sometimes we get into situations where the things that affect our life begin to affect and add to the people around us, the people we're responsible for, that God's given us care and charge over, our spouses, be it male or female, husband or wife, and our children. And then our children end up with more issues if we don't look to God. God gave you and I, or God gave to you and I unconditionally. There were no conditions. Here's the amazing thing, that He first created us, and then when man messed that up, God turned around, and because He wasn't willing to change, and there was no condition on His love or the reason He created us, He turned around and He made a way, because of that unconditional love and that unconditional giving, for us to be set free. He gave His Son. In so doing, He gave access to Himself through Jesus, His only begotten Son. So we need to give ourselves to one another in the same manner, unconditionally. If you come into a marriage with conditions or prenuptial agreements and stuff like that, man, I'm telling you, the love of God has not been perfected in your heart. You've got conditions. And that means you're not really for the person. You're looking for what you can get out of the relationship. Amen? Let's just be real here. And that's not the way God sees us. He's not looking for what He gets out of the relationship. He's not looking for our actions or our responding actions, our corresponding actions in that respect. He's looking, He only understands, I love you. And He understands and He knows that I've set things in order so that all you've got to do is turn to Me. I will take care of the things that affect your life. And I will be the one who, if you allow Me, will affect your life for the good. Amen. I will bring blessings to your life. I'll bring glory and honor to Myself through you. And I will accomplish in you and through you what I have set for you to do. Amen. Because people or do not or will not recognize God in their lives, in some circumstances, that's the truth. Even in Christians, there's some circumstances we don't even consider God because the first thing we think is, well, this is one thing God can't handle. Wrong. Wrong. We sing the song, nothing is too difficult for Him. Amen? Do we believe that? Or is that just a song we sing? Nothing is too difficult for Him. And we are victors in Him because of Him. Because people do not or will not recognize God in their lives or will not surrender and submit to Him, you know, in order to have a relationship in a marriage, you have to be submitted and surrendered to one another. Not seeking what you're going to get out of it. Not operating in phileo or Philadelphia love, which is brotherly love that says, man, if you do what's right by me, if you treat me right, then, you know, I'll reciprocate. No. You've already set a condition and a stumbling block in the road for that relationship to fail. Now, thank God, in the interim of you becoming husband and wife, if you don't know the Lord, God can get a hold of your lives and turn that around and make that situation change. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But it's a question of not, whether it's a question of not believing we can, not believing God cares, or we just don't. We think we've got the answers or we're going to work it out in ourselves. That works real well. How many know that? You want to be guaranteed to fail, just try to work things out in your own life. It doesn't work. God is, and He has the answer to all the problems, circumstances and experiences of your life. If you submit to Him, if you don't submit to Him, you retain all of these things in your life. You'll never be free from them. Amen? The Bible says to confess and forsake our sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And that doesn't mean you're going to hell, but you're not walking in the blessings that God has for you. How many here want to walk in the blessings of God? How many here want to be overtaken by the blessings of God? How many want to be able to get up every morning and understand and know that God's right there with you? You start the morning out with Him. I'm reminded of an old song that says, the Lord is blessing me right now. The Lord is blessing me right now. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. And the Lord is blessing me right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't submit to Him, you retain all of these issues and problems, and they bind you in your life. And it goes into your future, and it comes from your past, and you pass them on if you don't get rid of them to future generations. What you do today not only affects you tomorrow, but it affects your loved ones or your friends. Amen. That's not comfortable, but that's the truth. We have to be irreconcilable, connected to God. No way out and no excuse. Amen? That's where victory comes from. That's where joy comes from. That's where the feeling of peace that comes in our life is when we're so surrendered to Him that not one situation arises in our life, not one circumstance, not one thing comes that we don't know that He's got it under control. And one of the biggest things that brings peace in that circumstance or in those circumstances is He's got us under control. Amen? Hallelujah. And these things can bind you and future generations or your offspring. In turn then, not only they have their own issues, but the residuals from your undealt with issues, taking them into deeper and, in most cases, heavier problems and bondage. You can't just ignore things in your life, folks. You can't just think they're going to just go away. If you believe God, then what's going to come out of your mouth is the Word of God, the faith of God. And you're going to have hope in your life. And the Bible says hope does not make ashamed. Amen? It also goes on to say that if you see hope, then hope's not hope. Why do you hope for what you see? It's the idea of walking in, surrendering to, and submitting unconditionally to God the way He submitted and you know, unconditionally committed to you, and doing that for one another. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care if somebody tweaked your nose or stepped on your toes. Our obligation, yours and mine both, is to love unconditionally and to treat people unconditionally. And when we go into relationships, how many of you got born again just because of what you could get out of it from God? I don't see anybody raising their hand. You did it because you knew you needed Him. You knew you were in a trouble, that you were headed for someplace you didn't want to go. You had no desire to be there. And God came and said, like the song we sing, Christ is the answer for all your longing, for everything inside that hurts, for all the wrong that's been done to you in your life, for all the circumstances that have caused you to wonder where God is, even in your Christian walk. The only way to break the cycle is to call on Christ and allow Him to set you as the primary. Remember, you are always the primary. Free, which will be the catalyst and in turn set the secondary free because of the example you set because of your surrender and commitment to the Lord. Amen? There is only hope in God. When Jesus died on the cross, He removed all of our debt. And by that debt, I'm not talking about the monetary things. We know that that's one of the blessings that comes from serving Him. But He removed all of our debt, the things we owed, the things that we... There was a tally being built because of our sin, because of our mistrust, distrust of God, and because of our works on this earth before we knew the Lord. But Jesus removed all of our debt by His accomplishment, by the work of the cross, or on the cross. There's a great potential in every one of us that can move us from mediocrity to excellence in the kingdom of God. How many are happy just being mediocre? Just another day. If I get by, I get by. If I don't, I don't. Come on now. Has anybody besides me had days like that? And it's not that I don't know, and thank God this was years ago in my younger Christian days, but the point is I've learned that every day my life depends on Him. My life depends on getting up with Him. My life depends on going to bed with Him and knowing that tomorrow I need Him more than I need Him today. Did you hear me? God has created in each one of us a potential that can be turned from mediocrity to excellence and cause us to excel in the kingdom of God, to cause us to excel in the plan of God and to bless people's lives. But we can't do it hanging on to the past, thinking we can do it in our ways and our strength and not surrendering totally to Him. And that's one of the big problems we have. If we can't submit to one another, how can we submit to God? And if God's really in our life, then how can we not submit to Him and thus submit to other people, each other? And that's not submitting is not to carry out our wants and desires, but to show and fulfill the love of God so we can demonstrate that to each other. Amen? Amen. The place where you're living right now or your environment is a reflection of what's in your heart. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I repent. And it's between you and God and the Holy Spirit to figure out what that is, what that looks like, and what you need to do to get rid of it. I can tell you what you need to do to get rid of it. You need to just forsake it. Confess and forsake it. Amen? Amen. Acts 24:15 tells us, Acts 24:15, it says, I have hope in God. which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. That's a given, folks. That's going to happen no matter what side you're on. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead, just and unjust. We all know what Joshua 1:8 says. Joshua 1:8 tells us, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, or depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all. Observe doesn't just mean look at and see, what do I need to do, but doing it. Do according to all that that is written in it. For then, and only then, will you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The Word of God says, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day long. The law of God, we're not talking about the law of sin and death here. We're not talking about the law of oppression. We're talking about the law of liberty in Christ Jesus. Amen? If you want to know where that's at, look at Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Mark 12:30. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. But the key is that when you love God in that manner, when you're surrendered to Him and God's made a change in your life, you cannot help but react to and treat people differently. Go back and read 1 Corinthians 13. It says, if I don't have love, then everything I do is like somebody banging on a cymbal. It's worthless. It's useless. Turn with me, if you will, talking about Jesus' return and our obligation. 1 Thessalonians, I can say this, 4 verses 16 through 18. Somebody brought this up this weekend as I was meditating and seeking God for this message. God reminded me of this scripture. And it's important that we understand that. Besides that, God gives us command in this. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. You could even turn that into a greeting. He's coming back. He's coming back. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but that's a comfort to me, knowing that I don't have much longer to be weary and worried about this world, and I'm not worried about it. I've given it all to God. Is there anybody who thinks here I'm worried? Anybody here who thinks I'm worried about it? Do I give you that impression at all? Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Romans 8:24 and 25 says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Amen? If we have a hope in our lives, if first of all, our whole life should be a hope and an expectation. Amen? It should be a hope and an expectation. A hope of the fulfillment of the Scriptures that God's given us, the promises of God that He's given us, and the fulfillment of the accomplished work in our lives that He's told us He's doing in our lives. The only obligation we have to God, the only condition, and it's not really a condition, we should be able to do it in love, and that is surrendering our lives in every aspect, in every thought, in every word, in every deed to Him. Everything. And if you do that, that covers everything. Amen? Romans 5:13 says, now may the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope. The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you can abound, not just dwell in, but abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope for loved ones. Hope for changes in circumstances and situations. You know, I can't tell you that I mean, just every day as I think about Bill back here, this man is a mighty testimony to the kingdom of God and the gifts of God and the goodness of God. He's been standing, I can't tell you the exact amount of years, but for a long, long time believing God. He is healed. There's no question he's healed. But the manifestation is not there. And yet he gets up here broken every Sunday and prays for our offerings with a broken and contrite spirit and heart. Faith not wavering, but standing on what he knows is the truth. That's hope, folks. That's hope. And for those of you who know him, he doesn't say a whole lot, but when he does speak, he has something profound to say and something that will lift your spirit, change your day. I give the credit where credit's due to God. But I also say that I know God has a blessing for this man that's amazing. And I believe he's walking in some of it now, and I believe the fulfillment's going to come. I mean, God says we're blessed in this earth. What's it going to do to get all these blessings in heaven when we need them right now? But we have all this and all the blessings God has for us right now. He's given us and He wants to give us the kingdom down here. And yet we have heaven too. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen carefully. First comes faith. 1 John 4, or 5, 4 and 5 says, "For whatever is born of God," 1 John 5, 4 and 5, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, is what the King James says. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. I know y'all wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe that. And then after the faith comes the confidence as we walk with God. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, "Now this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him." How many here have been standing in faith for Bill? For one another? I see heads nodding. Hope in God doesn't make ashamed. Amen. And then after the confidence, we start with faith, and the confidence comes after our faith is built and grows, then comes victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is no victory without Him. If you're looking anyplace else for victory, if you've got an idea or a plan B, don't expect your victory to come. But if you're giving thanks to God, He says, God says He always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 58, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast." Once again, this comes up. "Be steadfast, immovable, abounding," always abounding in the work of the Lord, "knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Did you hear that? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Bible says, do whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. Amen. In Psalm 71, verses 5 and 6, we read, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth." How many of you are still standing in the same place today as you were when you were a youth? And by that, I'm not talking about necessarily physical youth. I'm talking about spiritual youth also. How many of you are still standing in the place that you're trusting in Him just like you did when you were a youth? Or have circumstances and things made you cold and hard in some areas? "But you," or "by you, I have been upheld from my birth. You are He who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall continually be of you." God called you from the foundations of the world. He set you up for the day when you'd come to know Him. It was His plan and purpose for you to know Him. Every man on this earth, every person was created by God, for God, and for His plan. And it's by Him we have been upheld from our birth. That means clear back when we didn't even know Him, God was working. How many like myself knew, even when you were a child, even though you didn't know Him, He was out there. You didn't know what He was. You didn't know what He looked like. You didn't know what it was, but you knew He was there. You just felt it. Am I the only one? Praise the Lord. And all of my life, to this very moment in time, this very day, as I sit here and share with you today, it's by Him. It's by You, O Lord, I have been upheld from my birth. I look back and I see situations that, I didn't just narrowly escape. The hand of God intervened. Amen? We call it just narrowly escaping. I say no. I say the hand of God was at work. You are He who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of You. I have a note here, and I don't know if it's one that I really want to share or if I just wrote it down for some unknown reason. Well, yeah, it is. Proverbs 13:12 is the scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. When you have hope in God and you're desiring something, never let your hope get sabotaged by circumstances or by time or timing. Once again, we all know we don't struggle with the outcome of what God promises. Our struggle is in we don't get it when we think we need it or when we want it. How many know God's time is not our time? He's not bound by a clock like we are. He's not bound by time. Day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. But like me, if you've been with God and you know God, you know that He's never late and He's never early. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the anxiety that level is in your life. God's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. Glory to God. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. When I looked at this word, it's not exactly what I had been taught or what I had remembered from or what I believed in the past. But there's more to it. The word wait comes from the Hebrew word. Well, I don't know what the Hebrew word is, but it comes from a Hebrew word. And it means to wait, to look for, to hope, to expect. Wait means not to be dormant, but active. In other words, just while you're waiting, you're not just sitting back going, sure, will be nice when it happens. It's not dormant. It's active still. Very active. To wait means to look eagerly for. I don't know about you, that denotes to me a function of action. There's an action involved. To lie in wait. To wait for or to linger for. That's what wait means. To collect, to bind together or be collected. And He says, if you wait on Him, the Lord will renew your strength. That word renew means to change for the better. Are you with me? To show newness, to alter, or to substitute. That's what renew means. It takes away the weariness and renews your strength. Merriam-Webster says, renew is to make like new, to restore to freshness. That's what waiting on God does. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to who? To God. To restore to freshness, to make new spiritually. To make new spiritually. That's what waiting on God does. In other words, simply stated, all of that is summed up in one word, to regenerate. That's what renew is. To renew is to restore to existence, or simply stated in one word, to revive. To renew means to make extensive changes in, or simply stated, to rebuild. Glory to God. To begin again. Don't give up, don't give in, just begin again. Or to resume. That's what wait means. I want to read you some more from Merriam-Webster about this. The word renew carries in it the connotations of all of these words. Renew, restore, refresh, renovate, and rejuvenate. Hallelujah. Man, that almost sounds like walking into a massage therapist's office and getting a massage. When you come out of there, you feel all rejuvenated, renovated. You found restored. Amen? Has anybody ever gone to one? Well, I have. A lady happened to be a nurse with credentials. I can't even begin to name all of them. No, I was given a gift certificate for Christmas one time, and I went. An experience I'll never forget. When I used to go to Spokane, when Charles and Joanna, my son-in-law and my daughter, and my two granddaughters lived in Spokane, I used to go up there, and every time I'd go to the airport, one of the first things I'd do is go and see her, because she was the manager of the hair salon right there on the concourse for United. I'd go and get my hair cut, and the next thing I'd do is walk across the street to the little satellite they had there and sit in that chair and get myself a massage. So by the time I got on that plane, and I'm telling you what, we were already on vacation. It's good stuff. If you haven't tried it, you ought to try it. Do good for you. But anyway, the first word there in renew implies a restoration of what had become faded or disintegrated so that it seems like new. Can you hear me repeat that? Did y'all get that? It implies a restoration of what had become faded or disintegrated so that it seems like new. And the next part of that is the word restore. And that implies a return to an original state after a depletion or loss. Return to, wait upon the Lord. And you're going to get renewed. You're going to get restored to an original state after the depletion or the loss. Then the word refresh, it implies supplying of something necessary to restore lost strength, animation, or power. The word renovate is part of it. And it suggests a renewing by cleansing, repairing, or rebuilding. Let me say that again. Renovate suggests a renewing by cleansing. The Bible says confess and forsake your sin. That's cleansing. The Bible says call upon the Lord in the time of trouble and He will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. That's cleansing. Don't carry around the garbage that tries to come on you. The filth. You know, it's just like after you go out and do a day's work. You can't help but come out sweaty, stinky, probably dirty. But you go home and you take a shower and you're renewed. You're washed. It's gone. That's what renovate is. Renewing by cleansing, repairing, or rebuilding. And then the final end is rejuvenate. It suggests the restoration of youthful vigor, powers, or appearance. Hallelujah. Your youth is renewed. Amen. I believe there's a scripture in the Word that says, talks about the renewing of your youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. Okay. Patrick, if you start some kind of music just real lightly in the background. Listen to me, folks. In this walk, and it's not just indigenous to those who stand in the pulpit. It's not just a fact in the people who stand in the pulpit's lives. It's a fact in all of our lives. That sometimes in this walk, we can lose sight of what's really going on. And lose sight of what God called us to do. Which means we get maybe just a little bit distracted. We get maybe a little or a whole lot discouraged. Depending on where you're at and with your walk with the Lord. But the point is, if we will do what the Scripture says, being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then what, like I just said, our youth is going to be renewed. And what's going to happen is, even though it may seem like you're going through a period of time where you don't know what the next step is, you're seeking God with all of your heart, and you don't hear from Him, you're discouraged, you're let down, you're wondering if God's forsaken you. Well, that's the first thing where you made your mistake, because what did He say? If we can't rely on God's Word, then we have nothing to rely on. There's no other hope. Hope doesn't come from any other place. Amen. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's the tree of life. Don't get weary in well-doing. Because you're going to reap. Even though it may seem like, Lord, I've been going through this dry spell. I don't know what's going on. here, imagine being in Bill's shoes. All these years standing and waiting for what you know is the truth. And not giving up. Has it been easy? No. Has there been times of discouragement? You better believe it. But Bill has trusted God. And I pick on him because I believe he needs to be honored as an example. Not because Bill's better than the rest of us, because Bill has surrendered his life to God. Doesn't mean you don't have a question. But you see, God's plan and purpose has been fulfilled. Bill is a walking miracle. Forgive me for picking on you. I'm not picking on you. I love you to death. You know that. I love you. In fact, I love you to life. I hate that. Love you to death. What's that? If I was Jewish, I'd go... There's many issues and obstacles we face in our walk with God. But if we stay steadfast and immovable, we will always abound in the work of the Lord. See, I can't lose sight of what God's called me to do. God won't let me. And you know what? The image that's before my eyes when I'm not here is of you people. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I know there have been times when you've wondered what to expect. But I want you to know, I'm not going anywhere. So my words to you today are, don't give up. Don't give in. And I want you to know, as far as my part, it's because of you, each one of you, and the faithfulness of God, that I'm still here. Because of the call of God in my life. I'll forsake everything else, but I will not forsake the calling of God or the life of God that's in my life. I won't forsake that. I don't care what the struggle looks like. I don't care how bad it gets. And you know what? I want to thank all of you again. The words of encouragement. The prayers. That's unconditional, folks. That's operating in unconditional love and unconditionally toward one another. It's also understanding that we all have things in our lives, but we're not going to succumb. I'm committed to you, and I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm going to be there to support you. I'm going to be there to pray for you. I'm going to be there to give you the word as God gives it to me. And that's not going to change. Do you hear me? I'm committed to you, but I'm submitted to God. And in a righteous way, I am submitted to you too. I'm God's servant. Please understand and know, no matter what you see, don't forget, it's not what we see or what we feel. Because feelings, emotions, and our sight can deceive us. But I'm committed to you. I love you. God loves you. And I couldn't walk in this, I couldn't make these statements if I didn't know that God wasn't committed to you unconditionally also. It's not based on the things you have or you haven't done. It's not based on the mistakes you've made. Those aren't even a consideration. It's the love of God that sustains us and carries us. I'll tell you right now, there's no place else that I could go, and I believe in all my heart, you people that are here, God's called here. And that you couldn't go anywhere else and be happy anyway. Amen. You couldn't go anywhere else and be happy. There have been ones over time that have taken a sabbatical or whatever you want to call it. And they come back and they say, I missed you too much. I couldn't stand it being away. And it's not us. It's the presence of God. It's the knowledge of knowing you're where God called you to be. Amen? There's only hope in God. This morning, I want to offer the opportunity. For anyone here, or for everyone here, let's put it that way. If your vigor has kind of waned lately, if your heart is becoming weary, don't leave here today with that. Let's pray for you this morning. Let's see God restart your batteries, recharge your batteries, restart your motor. Let's see God restore that zeal and that love. Not forget what we've been called to do or where we've been called, but continue on in the grace and the mercy, abounding in the work of the Lord this morning. Amen. I don't understand why it's so easy to get distracted. But when you get distracted, what is completely as easy as turning to God and say, God, wait a minute. I don't like what's coming up here. And get in His presence. And watch your attitude and your heart change. Watch your circumstances change. How many know that God changes circumstances? Has He changed circumstances in your life? Let your youth be renewed like the eagles. Amen. We're going to give God some praise and worship here in a few moments, but if this message has touched you this morning, if this message pertains to you, don't let pride stand in the way. Don't worry about what somebody else thinks. Man, you're in a safe place. You're loved here. You're in as safe a place as you can be. Come. Let us pray for you and with you. Let's turn this thing around today. Amen? Let's turn this thing around today. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for Gene's boldness. Praise you, Lord.
This is about family relationships.
Amen.
What a drag that is on.
Amen.
I need prayer because of the relationship with my sister, which is not good. It's ungodly on her part, and I hope not on mine. But it doesn't affect my faith in God. I'll always be faithful to God.
It hurts.
You'll see, it hurts. And it drags you down.
God's a God of reconciliation.
And I keep thinking nothing can do any good. Nothing's going to help. I haven't even prayed about it yet.
I witnessed this week. God can open up hearts.
Amen. Amen.
I know He can.
Only He can.
Why don't I believe that for her?
I saw it.
Okay.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you for that encouragement. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for this wonderful Christian woman, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing in her life every day. And I thank you, Lord, for an open heart and a heart that looks to you, Lord. It's not ashamed of you, but loves you. And Lord, I know, I feel the burden of her heart. I feel your compassion, Lord, for her. Father, you said, don't be weary in doing good. So, Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for the understanding and the insight, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and for you to change this situation as we send your word into the situation with her sister. Lord, there's spirits there. There's ungodliness there. But Lord, where sin does abound, grace much more abounds. So Lord, I thank you for the grace that's in Jean, that you've shown Jean, that you've given to Jean. And now, Lord, I pray that as she goes, that wisdom would flow through her, Lord, to know how to answer, not striking back, Lord, but a word of kindness, a word of love that would change that relationship, that would bring you on the scene and make you visible, not only to her sister, but her brother-in-law. And in so doing, Lord, heap hot coals of fire on their head to make them jealous of the hope that's within Jean, Lord. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for the restoration of relationship. And I thank you, Lord, for victory and a testimony that'll bring glory and honor to your kingdom through Jean, Lord, and because of Jean. Lord, I thank you for peace. I thank you for comfort in her life. And I thank you that, Lord, you're at the center of her life, and her hope and her trust is in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you that it's done. We thank you for the good report, and we will believe no other report. Again, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Done and done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? And Father, right now in Jesus' name, we give you praise and thanks for this time. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are the answer. You have, but you are the answer. So, Lord, right now I ask that your word be sealed in every heart, Lord. We're accountable only to you, Lord, for what with what we do with these messages, Lord. Lord, I want your people free this morning. I want to be free in Jesus' name. Of any foolishness, any ridiculousness, Lord, in my thinking. You know my heart, Lord. You know I meant what I said this morning, Lord. And I thank you for ministering to my heart so that I can minister to these people, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, as we enter into praise and worship, thanksgiving to you, Lord, you inhabit the praises of your people. So we thank you, Lord, once again, we're allowed to sit in your presence and give you and demonstrate our love for you by surrendering our lives and by giving the sacrifice of praise, if that's what it is, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
As you know, that October is the Pastor Appreciation Month. And last week we were talking about taking up an offering, a love offering for Pastor Bill. Now, I want you to remember that Bill does not get paid for what he does, yet he is totally committed to our church, to this body of believers, to this congregation. He's given his time, a lot of effort, and he continually prays for you, to pray for you, and he blesses each one of us. A lot of us have learned a lot from him. His command of the remembering of verses in the Bible, and he has an evangelist's heart, and he wants to see people come to the Lord.
Amen.
And he does this week after week. Even though when he's not here, if he's laid up, he still has a lot of prayers going to each one of us.
Amen.
So what we'll do is we'll take up an offering here and let us bless him with what he's done and what he's doing, how much we appreciate him to be here. As we go through this, Bill, I want to give you this card. I hope that everybody's written a little note in there for you.
Praise the Lord.
We appreciate you, Bill, and we want to thank you. We love you. We love you, Bill.
Love you guys. Yeah. No. I'm totally humbled. Totally humbled.
Okay. Stretch your hands out towards Bill here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this man, this candle of light that is in our midst. Bill has done so many years of ministering to the needs of others. And Father, we just pray for him right now. We pray for his restoration and strength
Thank
and
you.
Health. We pray for his well-being. And we know that his restoration to health is coming.
Amen.
And we accept the responsibility of keeping him in our hearts and in our prayers. So, Father, we ask right now that you lay your hand upon him and bless him, nurture him, give him strength and courage, give him the words that you always want to give him to teach the people in his church and in the congregation or wherever he goes. And we thank you for his strength and his abilities, Lord. And we give you praise and glory, Father, for bringing Bill into our congregation. Jesus, walk with him, strengthen him, bless him through each day. And we give you the praise and glory, Father, because of Jesus, what he has done. And in that most precious name we pray, even Jesus. Amen.
For all hearts clear this morning. Praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity we've had to come and be in your presence, Lord. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to minister to these people, Lord, and to fulfill your call in my life, Lord, where you called me to do it, Lord. Father, this morning I thank you that right now that you're sealing your word in each one of our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we're going to be different, Lord, because of that word today, starting right here, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, right now, I just thank you that your countenance shines upon your people, that you bless them going and coming. And Lord, that your hand and they, Lord, that they abound in your blessings, Lord. For that I praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless our fellowship, Lord. We sanctify the food and the fellowship, Lord, by your word in this prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for meeting our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.